The old man has gone, King, but his words remain to plague us. I am old, too, but I cannot remember that he was ever false.
That is true. It troubles me. Oh, it is hard to give in, but it is worse to risk everything for stubborn pride.
Creon, take my advice.
What shall I do?
Go quickly. Free Antigone from her vault and build a tomb for the body of Polynices.
You would have me do this?
Creon, yes, and it must be done at once. God moves swiftly to cancel the folly of stubborn men.
It is hard to deny the heart, but I will do it. I will not fight with destiny.
You must go yourself. You cannot leave it to others.
I will go. Bring axes, servants. Come with me to the tomb. I buried her. I will set her free. Oh, quickly, my mind misgives. The laws of the gods are mighty, and a man must serve them to the last day of his life.
Exit Creon. Paean. Strophe 1.
God of many names.
O Aeacus, son of Cadmean Semele, O born of the thunder, guardian of the west, regent of Eleusis Plain. O prince of Maenad Thebes, and the dragon field by rippling Ismenus.
Antistrophe 1.
God of many names.
The flame of torches flares on our hills. The nymphs of Aeacus dance at the spring of Castalia. From the vine-close mountain come come an ivy. Ivoe, Ivoe, sings through the streets of Thebes.
Strophe 2.
God of many names.
Aeacus of Thebes, heavenly child of Semele, bride of the Thunderer, the shadow of plague is upon us. Come with clement feet, oh, come from Parnassos, down the long slopes, across the lamenting water.
Antistrophe 2.
Io, fire, chorister of the throbbing stars, O purest among the voices of the night, thou son of God, blaze for us.
Come with choric rapture of circling Maenads, who cry, Io, Aeaca, God of many names.
Exodus. Enter messenger left.
Men of the line of Cadmos, you who live near Amphion's citadel, I cannot say of any condition of human life, this is fixed. This is clearly good or bad. Fate raises up, and fate casts down, the happy and unhappy alike. No man can foretell his fate. Take the case of Creon. Creon was happy once, as I count happiness. Victorious in battle, sole governor of the land. Fortunate father of children nobly born. And now it has all gone from him. Who can say that a man is still alive when his life's joy fails? He is a walking dead man. Grant him rich. Let him live like a king in his great house. If his pleasure is gone, I would not give so much as the shadow of smoke for all he owns.
Your words hint at sorrow. What is your news for us?
They are dead. The living are guilty of their death.
Who is guilty? Who is dead? Speak.
Hymen. Hymen is dead, and the hand that killed him is his own hand.
His father's or his own?
His own. Driven mad by the murder his father had done.
Tiresias, Tiresias, how clearly you saw it all.
This is my news. You must draw what conclusions you can from it.
But look, Eurydice, our queen, has she overheard us?
Enter Eurydice from the palace center.
I have heard something, friends, as I was unlocking the gate of palace shrine, for I needed her help today. I heard a voice telling of some new sorrow, and I fainted there at the temple with all my maidens about me. But speak again, whatever it is, I can bear it. Grief and I are no strangers.
Dearest lady, I will tell you plainly all that I have seen. I shall not try to comfort you. What is the use, since comfort could lie only in what is not true? The truth is always best. I went with Creon to the outer plain where Polynices was lying. No friend to pity him, his body shredded by dogs. We made our prayers in that place to Hecate and Pluto that they would be merciful, and we bathed the corpse with holy water and we brought fresh broken branches to burn what was left of it. And upon the urn we heaped up a towering barrow of the earth of his own land. When we were done, we ran to the vault where Antigone lay on her couch of stone. One of the servants had gone ahead, and while he was yet far off, he heard a voice grieving within the chamber, and he came back and told Creon. And as the king went closer, the air was full of wailing, the words lost, and he begged us to make all haste. "Am I a prophet?" he said, weeping, "and must I walk this road, the saddest of all that I have gone before? My son's voice calls me on. Oh, quickly, quickly! Look through the crevice there, and tell me if it is Hymen or some deception of the gods." We obeyed, and in the cavern's farthest corner, we saw her lying. She had made a noose of her fine linen veil and hanged herself. Hymen lay beside her, his arms about her waist, lamenting her, his love lost underground, crying out that his father had stolen her away from him. When Creon saw him, the tears rushed to his eyes, and he called to him, "What have you done, child? Speak to me. What are you thinking that makes your eyes so strange? Oh, my son, I come to you on my knees." But Hymen spat in his face. He said not a word, staring, and suddenly drew his sword and lunged. Creon shrank back, the blade missed, and the boy, desperate against himself, drove it half its length into his own side and fell. And as he died, he gathered Antigone close in his arms again, choking, his blood bright red on her white cheek. And now he lies dead with the dead, and she is his, at last, his bride in the houses of the dead.
Exit Eurydice into the palace.